It's time to get your news on. We are VK1WIA.
And getting it on this week, I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB. You'll hear from WIA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, WIA Returning Officer Pete Cherry, VK2LP, and WIA Yota Committee Chairman Steve, VK6SJ. But wait, there's much, much more in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. Let's open up the portals. The news is here.
Who listens to radio?
I'm Graham, VK2FA, on behalf of the Hunter Radio Group.
I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
Hi, I'm Paul, VK4PY.
This is Graham, VK4CEG.
Hi, this is Nick, VK7WhiskeyWhiskey.
This is WA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, and welcome to all listeners to the national news broadcast this week. Last week, both Peter Klee and myself had the pleasure in attending RADCOMS in Melbourne. RADCOMS is the ACMA's Spectrum Management Conference that brings together government, industry, researchers, and those people that are interested in spectrum reform and innovation. The conference was held over 2 days, and I was able to attend the Thursday sessions and Peter Klee the Friday sessions. It was wonderful to hear from the Minister of Communications, the Honourable Michelle Rowland MP, who opened the conference and gave a keynote address. It was an informative couple of days, and there was considerable discussion around the future of satellite direct-to-mobile communications and the future of the 6G network. There was also great presentations on the future delivery of TV, interference, AI-connected networks, wide area consumer networks, and a great discussion on what international regulatory developments mean for us. It was also wonderful to catch up and network with so many different ACMA staff, and great to see Peter Young, VK3MV, and Brian Miller, VK3MI, in attendance. This is the second time I've attended the event representing the WIA, and it was the first time Peter Klee had attended. We both enjoyed the event, and the key takeaway for us both is that the spectrum is a hot and valuable commodity, and as amateurs, we'll need to continue to fight to preserve what we have. Also this week, the ACMA published the application process of amateur beacons and repeaters. Frequency Assignment Practices, or FAPs as they are known, provide guidance on specific issues for frequency assignments. Under Guideline 10, the new application process has now been published on the ACMA website. This now brings to a close several years of work by the WIA to document the entire process for beacons and repeater frequency assignment. I would like to especially thank Grant Willis, VK5GR, who has worked tirelessly to document this process. It was a huge undertaking, and like everything that Grant does, it was done professionally and with open consultation. Thank you, Grant. And also, good luck, Grant, in your travels to Cocos Keeling, Ireland, this week to be active as VK9 Charlie Victor. Look out for Grant and the team, who should be active on the bands as this broadcast goes to air. The WIA will also publish the application process of amateur beacons and repeaters on our website. We've just set up a landing page and we'll populate the necessary documents shortly. Keep an eye out on our news items and social media, which we will announce its release. Finally, we wish Peter Young, VK3MV, safe travels to Thailand this week to represent the WIA for Region 3 at the IARU conference in Thailand. The WIA board met with Peter Young this week to discuss our position on several matters, and Peter will advocate and represent the interests of the WIA as a participating member society of the International Amateur Radio Union. The 40-metre band plan harmonisation will be one of the topics on the agenda, which I'm sure there will be robust discussion. Finally, I want to wish WA Director Stephen Green, VK2TSG, all the very best and for a fast recovery. Stephen has been unwell for several months, which has seen him in and out of hospital. Get well, Stephen, and hopefully we'll see you back on board soon. That's it for me this week, and this has been Scott Williams, WA President on behalf of the WAA Board. Best wishes to you all.
We are VK1WIA.
Call for nominations as a director of the WIA. Pursuant to the Constitution of the Wireless Institute of Australia, the board has determined that the election of directors shall be conducted by ballot. Nominations open on the 1st of November 2024. Four directors retire at the conclusion of the next annual general meeting, which will be held in May 2025, namely Scott Williams, VK3KJ, Peter Klee, VK8ZZ, Giles Kirby, VK5GK, and Peter Schrader, VK4EA. Each retiring director is eligible for re-election. Nominations are called from persons seeking election as a director of the WIA. A director must be a voting member of the WIA, must hold an Australian amateur radio license, and a company director identification number. Any person wishing to nominate as a candidate for election as director of the WIA must deliver or cause to be delivered to the returning officer a properly completed WIA nomination form by no later than 2:30 p.m. on 16 December 2024. The forms are available on the WIA website at the link in the text edition of this broadcast, or you may telephone the national office to receive a nomination form. Candidate information will be posted online and emailed to members. Members are requested to ensure that their email address is correctly recorded on the WIA membership register. Nominations received by facsimile or by electronic means cannot be accepted. This has been Pete Cherry, VK2LP, WIA Returning Officer.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. Three strikes and they're down. A tower broadcasting a Missouri AM station is the third to be destroyed in October after this 75-year-old structure collapsed on October 24. A snapped guy wire caused the tower for Joplin's KRMOAM 990 to fall to the northwest, narrowly missing the transmitter hut. According to the Lawrence County Record, Eagle Broadcasting co-owner Dwayne Gandy was mowing near the site when he witnessed the tower's sudden fall. The structure built in 1949 had recently undergone maintenance. The Gandys say they will rebuild the tower on the same site. The collapse is the latest in a string of incidents leading to the destruction of broadcast towers in the USA. A helicopter crash near downtown Houston on October 20 resulted in four fatalities and caused the collapse of a tower broadcasting two Televisa Univision stations. They were struck off air when the private touring helicopter made contact with the structure. A hot air balloon participating in the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta collided with and destroyed a 650-foot AM radio tower October 11. The Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office reported that the balloon carrying three passengers landed safely in a nearby field. Felix VK4FUQ told you about it, and that special event DX has now come and gone. October 18, the RSGB Mill Hill School and a team of radio amateurs in New Zealand marked the centenary of the first successful two-way transglobal communication between radio amateurs in the UK and New Zealand. The original contact between Frank Bell, 4 Alpha Alpha in New Zealand, and Cecil Goida, 2 Sierra Zulu, in Mill Hill School in North London was reenacted at the school on a wavelength as close as possible to the original. Members of 2SZ's family watched the reenactment and chatted to pupils. As part of wider celebrations for the day, the school put on activities including a builder radio workshop. RSGB Life President Don Beatty, Golf 3 Bravo Juliet, said that he was delighted by the success of the event and that it had given students the opportunity to learn how groundbreaking that first radio contact was with New Zealand. Call sign Golf 2 Sierra Zulu was operational for 4 days surrounding the centenary, during which operators achieved approximately 1,250 contacts. A contest a little different, SWL Contest 2025. For shortwave listeners interested in medium and shortwave broadcast DX, you may be interested to learn about a dedicated SWL contest taking place next year. The contest will start on the 1st of January 2025 and finish on the 28th of February 2025. The categories include the 5 22 to 17 10 kHz medium wave band only, the 2.3 MHz to 26.1 MHz shortwave bands, or a combined medium and shortwave band category. You can use real radio or a web-based software-defined receiver. Further information may be found via a web search for SWL Contest 2025. Administration eases restrictions on space-related exports. The Biden administration has eased export restrictions on U.S. commercial space companies to ship certain satellite and spacecraft-related items to allies and partners. The changes are intended to make it easier for the growing U.S. commercial space industry to expand sales while also protecting national security and foreign policy interests. Certain items involving remote sensing spacecraft or space-based logistics assembly and servicing spacecraft will no longer need licenses for shipments to Australia, as an example, the Commercial Department said. Some less sensitive satellite and spacecraft parts and components will no longer require licenses for shipment to over 40 countries. The countries include Canada, Australia, Japan, South Korea, and most of the European Union. Singapore's 4,300-kilometre undersea transmission line with Australia clears regulatory hurdle. Recently, Singapore's Energy Market Authority, EMA, granted Sun Cable conditional approval for its transmission line with Australia. Singapore has been faced for years now with the dilemma that its population energy needs keep increasing year over year, while it has very little space to build out its energy-producing infrastructure, least of all renewables with their massive footprints. This has left Singapore virtually completely dependent on natural gas-burning thermal plants, with no nearby countries to obtain excess power from, as is common in, for example, the EU's integrated energy market. An idea was floated in 2020 by Australian company Sun Cable for the project, called the Australia-Asia Power Link, AAPL. This would entail two transmission lines. The 800-kilometre-long Darwin Link to a yet-to-be-built multi-gigawatt 12,400-hectare solar farm in the Barkly region of the Northern Territory. This link would be rated for 4 gigawatts of transmission capacity. The 4,300-kilometre-long Singapore Link HVDC line from Darwin to Singapore rated for 2 gigawatts, 1.75 gigawatts after losses. The current planning for the whole Sun Cable project is set for completion by 2035, with construction yet to begin on all components. There are still many uncertainties to be resolved, as the 1.75 gigawatts that would be provided 24/7 to Singapore would have to be backed up by significant grid-level storage on both sides, which is not an easy problem to solve. If completed, it would be the world's longest electricity transmission line. For VK1 WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
Now, operational news with VK4 FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, contest wise 2024. This weekend, November 2 and 3, the International Police Association Radio Club has invited all radio amateurs around the world to take part in its contest, which takes place every year on the first complete week in November. This year, the CW section, Saturday to November, from 0600 hours to 1800 hours UTC. The SSB section, Sunday through November, from 0600 hours to 1800 hours UTC. More information about this contest and the award program are available at iparc.de. International Earth Moon Earth Contest, 0000 hours UTC on Saturday through 2359 hours UTC Sunday. 50 to 1296 MHz, November 16-17. Work as many amateur stations as possible by the Earth Moon Earth Path on any authorized amateur frequency in the bands 50 to 1296 MHz. EME logs due back to the ARRL December 17. VHF UHF Field Day, Spring 2024. Saturday 23 November through Sunday 24 November. ARRL 160 meters CW. December 6 to 8 is the date this year, but it is always the first full weekend of December. Begins 2200 hours UTC Friday, ending 1559 hours UTC Sunday. This is a 42-hour period with no time limitation. Logs must be returned within 7 days. 10-meter ARRL contest. For amateurs worldwide to exchange QSO information with as many stations as possible in the 10-meter band. Second full weekend of December. Start 0000 hours UTC Saturday. Runs through 2359 hours UTC Sunday. December 14-15. Again, as in most ARRL tests, logs are to be completed and returned within 7 days. Yoda contest. Youth on the Air Test 3 or 3 will be from 10 hours to 21.59 hours UTC on 29 December on the 5 Classic Bands CW and SSB. DX Window to the World. Special call sign PH80LIB will be in use from various locations until the 10th of November to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Southern Netherlands in the autumn of 1944. PH80LIB will be on the 8 of the 10-meter bands using SSB, CW and digital modes. QSL Special Station, PH80LIB via the Bureau. Maurizio, IK2GZU is active as 5H3MB from Tanzania until the 11th of November, while doing volunteer work at a local school. In his spare time, he is operating SSB, CW and digital modes on the 8 of the 10-meter bands. QSL via Club Logs OQRS, Logbook of the World, EQSL, or direct via IK2GZU. OL80 Carbon is active on the 30th of November to mark the 80th anniversary of Operation Carbon during World War II. This operation involved the dropping of paratroopers in the Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia. The Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia was a partially annexed territory of Nazi Germany. That was established in 1939 after the German occupation of the Czech lands. A team of operators is active using the call OL80 Carbon on CW, SSB and digital modes on the HF bands. Celebrating the 100th anniversary of Radio Belgrade, the Belgrade Amateur Radio Club is active as YT100RB and YU1924RB until November 30. For details of a certificate that is available, see yu1ano.org. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ in Ingham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Cole, VK3GTV.
Hello, first up it's Worldwide Special Interest Group News, Summits on the Air, Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program, Parks on the Air and other adventure groups. 2024 VKFF National Get-Together in Bendigo, Central Victoria. Over 50 enthusiastic VKFF parks activators and hunters converged on Bendigo last weekend, October 25th to 27th, for the VKFF National Get-Together. One of the participants was Graham, VK3GRK, who writes, "The weekend started off with a well-attended dinner at the historic Shamrock Hotel, where participants were given their VKFF show bag and pre-ordered merchandise. Saturday presentations at the Quality Hotel Lakeside included tips for activators and hunters, mapping, satellites, software and websites, CW and digital modes, antennas and power supplies, and a very interesting presentation about snake awareness and safety by Tamika from Greater Bendigo Snake Control. There was a selection of excellent raffle prizes with the proceeds donated to Trees for Life. The Saturday evening dinner featured guest speaker Jordan Crook, Parks and Nature campaigner from the Victoria National Parks Association. Jordan gave an overview of the VNPA and their efforts to encourage more funding for programs and organisations that look after our parks. Sunday breakfast was hosted by the Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club at their club rooms, and this was followed by a number of activators heading out to various parks in the area. As a result, the bands were very busy and some took the opportunity to activate new parks that have recently been added to VKFF. The weekend also provided an opportunity to catch up with amateur radio friends and to put a face to a voice and call sign. Congratulations should go to the VKFF organising team for a well-organised weekend. And no doubt they'll look forward to seeing you all at the VKFF National Get-Together next year in Canberra. Thanks, Graham, for that report. Next up, it's Worldwide Special Interest Group's Final Frontier. Intelsat satellite explodes in orbit. An Intelsat communications satellite built by Boeing has exploded and broken up in geostationary orbit. Intelsat confirmed the news, declaring the satellite a total loss. The US Space Force said that it's tracking around 20 associated pieces, but has observed no immediate threats to other satellites so far. Roscosmos said it was tracking 80 fragments. The cause of the explosion is not yet known, but the news is another blow for Boeing following Starliner's failed crew test flight, problems with the 737 MAX, and delays to the 777X. Intelsat said it's working to move customers to its other satellites or third-party spacecraft. A failure review board has convened to complete a comprehensive analysis of the cause, the company wrote, with a spokesperson telling Space News the satellite was uninsured. FunCube AO73 is now in autonomous mode, meaning high-power telemetry when in daylight and transponder when the satellite is in eclipse. Controllers are watching the effect on its 11-year-old batteries. If the batteries suffer badly, they'll revert to eclipse mode. All telemetry will be gratefully received via the link in the text and video versions of this news broadcast. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Military. George, MM0JNL, is active as GB0GTS until the 18th of November to raise awareness of homeless military veterans in association with the Great Tommy Sleepout, organised by the Royal British Legion Industries. The station operates on the 80 3-10 metre bands using SSB. GB0GTS will operate at least one full night roughing it outside as part of the Great Tommy Sleepout. Could satellite signals unstealth stealth aircraft? A recent Chinese study shows that Starlink satellites could provide a means for detecting stealth aircraft. Stealth technology is devoted to developing aircraft shapes and surfaces that reduce the radar signature and deflect radar beams. But Chinese researchers have found that aircraft, including stealth aircraft, cause interference in regular satellite signals that can be analyzed to detect their presence, even when they're invisible to radar. This technology would have an added advantage over radar of not requiring easily detectable radar emissions. And as more Starlink satellites are placed in orbit, more opportunity exists for piggybacking on their transmissions for this purpose. Though they noted that their research is still in the experimental stage, Chinese scientists are already considering using other similar satellite constellations, including those from the Chinese Thousand Sails program. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Old-Timers. In a moment, Clive, VK6CSW, our man in the West, joins us. But first, lots of focus on the recruitment of new radio amateurs these days seems to focus on the youth. So it's good to see an initiative which could easily be adopted here in VK in this era of over-50s villages. Okay, I'm aware of some with antenna restrictions, but in the US, Homestead Village Amateur Radio Club was invited to set up a display for the county-wide open house for retirement communities, and with that, they hope to attract some new members for their club. The Homestead Village Amateur Radio Club, HVARC, has an established station in the Homestead Barn and operates public service events and training for those interested in obtaining their amateur radio license. They're equipped to provide direct communications to the Lancaster County Emergency Management Agency offices, as well as the Countywide Communications 911 Centre. The station operates in voice and digital modes and has had contacts globally. Amateur radio has many facets, and the club invites anyone who is interested to explore why they might enjoy it too, including making new friends, not only in their respective villages and retirement facilities, but right around the world.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's November Bulletin to go to air. This month, instead of the usual broadcast, we offer an historical broadcast from years past by Alan Doble, VK3 AMD, from August 2002. The usual news and information will be broadcast next month. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Full details of all transmissions, times, modes and frequencies can be found on the RAOTC website at www.raotc.org.au or just Google RAOTC Broadcasts. Please note that the 10-metre transmission will now start earlier at 0 hours UTC. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. Members and friends of the RAOTC in Perth are reminded that the next lunchtime meeting at the new venue, the Woodbridge Hotel, East Guildford, is on Tuesday, November the 12th. All are welcome. Full details are published on the club website. Once again, tune in tomorrow for the November RAOTC Bulletin. Enjoy the program and please join in the callbacks afterwards. 73 from Clive, VK6, CSW.
Thanks, Clive. Next up, it's Worldwide Special Interest Group News, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air.
Thanks, Cole. Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ from the YOTA Committee at the WIA. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure of going to Pargfest down in Mandurah, south of Perth. Big thanks to the Peel Amateur Radio Group for holding it. It was a great event with lots of vendors, clubs showing their wares, raffles and door prizes, great food, etc. Another thing I thought was really interesting was the amount of young people attending this event, both licensed and not yet. Peel Amateur Radio Group are actively encouraging new young hams into the hobby, and I saw a few others being taken under an experience wing from other clubs also, and afterwards in my capacity at Ham College also received a few expressions of interest in our course from the same kids. I see quite a few new hams coming into the hobby from Ham College, from all walks of life. I think our youngest foundation licensee attendee was 8 years old, but I might be wrong, could be a younger one a few years back. And we've had quite a few attendees in their 70s come through the college successfully as well. As a proud father of a couple of hams also, I see that what interested me both now and as a younger ham in the late 70s and early 80s is completely different to what interests our younger generation. Coupled with the fact that young people tend to use text more than voice calls on a phone, so using a radio with low power and a simple antenna on FT8 is something they find very cool. The sheer volume of different ways to enjoy our hobby compared to what we had in the 70s is just breathtaking, and part of why, I think, the amateur population in WA at least, anyway, is actually growing. So how do we attract more people to the hobby? Let's face it, once we middle-aged hams like myself are in our 70s, if we are still the youngsters in the hobby, who's going to help us put up a new Yagi or tower? Better start recruiting some new slaves. New members. Or maybe most of us have families, so there's a start. Maybe there's a neighbour who's curious about the funny-looking antenna in your yard. Scouts and guides are another great source of new members. JOTA is the perfect time to show younger people the fun of the hobby and encourage them to think about getting a licence. Most, if not all, clubs here have at least a few people who are registered examiners. Talk to your local scout groups about running a foundation course. Great way to recruit new members. Instead of dragging your old radios to yet another ham fest to get $5 for them, think about how giving it to a newly licensed ham in your club. I encourage you all to think about this and maybe even bring it up as a discussion point at your next club meeting.
Thanks, Steve. And that's it for the segment for this week. I'll catch you again next week. I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
2024, and it's a date, and clubs are welcome to email text along with audio for this section. Details of all WIA-affiliated clubs and societies can be found on the WIA website, wia.org.au, and that includes email addresses and website links. In VK7, Tasmanian Ham Conference, November 2 and 3 in Hobart, is in full swing right now. In VK3, Spark Rosebud Radio Fest, November 17, Eastbourne Primary School, Allambie Avenue, Rosebud. Now, next week, the 10th, we'll have Andrew, VK3CAH, from the Southern Peninsula Amateur Radio Club, with the up-to-date news for their 17th event. So now, until we meet again, I'm Graham, VK4BB, editor of WIA National News. Walk softly.
From Australia, This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.